Wonderful to see you all right now. What a great blessing. Let's go ahead and stand, and we want you to open up the Bible, the Word of God. We're going to speak from the Word of God this morning, the living hope. He is our overcomer. He is our way maker. He is our everything. What a blessing to have this time to be together right now. This morning, as we're gathered together, I want you to think of this title in these first few verses. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and the first five verses. And the title of this message is Good News for the World. Do you need good news? We do. We need to have the good gospel news all the time. Here's the truth. You and I, we live in this world, and it is more brutal than it has ever been. I don't care who you are or what you're doing. There is a vicious, wicked, spiritual battle going on every day, 24 hours a day. You're a part of that. You experience the reality of that in different ways. You may find yourself being short-tempered, impatient, or other things as well. My friends, it's a spiritual battle, and God's brought us here today to renew our minds, our hearts, to refresh us, to fill us with the Holy Spirit of God. And that is the great news that we need to hear today. The Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul speaking through the Holy Spirit of God, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or with wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything amongst you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we pray now and we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God would fill us up right now. The Holy Spirit of God would teach us the things we need to know about Jesus and about our life. And even right now, we take our most pressing cares and concerns, our worries and our fears, the uncertainties that you are thinking about, you're overwhelmed with. Today, right now, in faith, we take that to Jesus Christ. And we say, God, we're casting our cares upon you, for you care for us. And I pray, God, that all of us would be ministered to. We'd be touched by the Spirit of God. And if you're needing healing, I pray in Jesus' name that He would bring that kind of healing. Perhaps it's a huge decision. May He give you the wisdom for that decision. Perhaps it's reconciling with a family member. May He bring forth that grace to accomplish that. God, we're here not just to read about you, but to be in love with you. We commit this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at our text today in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, and by the way, as you know, we have Bibles here. If you don't have one, take one when you leave today. Maybe you have a friend that would like a Bible as a gift. Please take one of those Bibles, pray over it, give it to them as a gift. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In chapter 2, verse 1, thinking about the good news for the world that we're living in right now, and I believe that the world is in search of something. And I don't think the world knows really what they're in search of. But I believe with confidence they're in search of the grace of God. They're falling apart. They don't know what to do. They're making up answers to questions that haven't been asked. There's much confusion, much misunderstanding going on. A lot has to do with COVID and all the effects and consequences of that. The world would be healed if it could receive and understand the grace of God. And the same is true for us today. Paul was a recipient of the grace of God. Remember, his determination was to destroy the church. He already had killed Christians. He was on his way to Damascus to do more damage to the church. As you know, Jesus apprehended him on the road to Damascus. He became an apostle of Jesus Christ. He became a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the scriptures communicate to us the credentials he had through a religious system as a Pharisee. But he did not hold on to any of those credentials. A matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul summarizes his heart. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And the grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, and yet not I, but the grace of God which was within me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." My friends, it is the grace of God right now that we need. It's the grace of God that you need personally, as well as myself right now. And we can use that term, and we can say, let's say grace, which means a quick prayer because you're starving. But grace is so much deeper than that, so wider than that. We cannot really define it. It's transformational in our lives. Paul said, "When I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech. I had nothing to bring to God when I came to you, brethren." And when he came as a tent maker. And he came as a preacher. He did not come as a philosopher. He came as a self-supporting servant. You could not find a GoFundMe page for the Apostle Paul. He trusted in Jesus. He lived amongst them in Corinth for a year and a half. Later he would communicate in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6 and 8. He says, "Nor did we seek glory from men, neither from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle amongst you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." That's why we're here today. That's why we're outside today. We're outside because a year ago we started this journey together. A year ago we felt the leading of God to break away from a lot of the strongholds we felt were imposed upon us in our state. And we believe that God has called us and has commissioned us and has given us the privilege to gather and meet together. And so we launched on this journey together. And we thank many of you for being a part of this journey. Some of you the entire way. Some others have come aboard along the way. I am blessed to see you here today. And it's great as we've been having 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., but it's important just to get together with one another in the body of Christ. It is the gospel, and we bring the gospel, but it's more than that. He says, because you've become dear to us, and you're dear to one another, and you don't know how much of a blessing you are until we have a day like this morning, where we have time beforehand, and afterwards, we have a baptism, and we have lunch together, and we spend time together. You are a blessing. You are an encouragement. God is meeting with his believers across the world through this day, and we're a part of his church. And as was read in the very beginning, he is here. He is unifying us. He is, in a sense, encouraging us, and I'm so thankful. I think about what Jesus said, and he said it to the religious leaders. He said in Matthew 11:25, at that time Jesus answered these religious leaders, and he's praying, but he's letting them hear his prayer. And Jesus says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. And Jesus was saying, come and follow me. Jesus was saying, for each of us, that we realize our dependency is upon Christ. He has humbled us, and he reveals to us the things that we need to hear, the things that we need to understand, because he is at work. He who began a good work, he's faithful to complete it. He said that we can work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, but it's God who's at work within us to will and to do for his good pleasure. And in many ways, he's using this day as a launching pad for what he has ahead. Yes, thank God for your hunger for his word. Thank God that you've been taking his word to heart. Thank God that personally, you probably have been reading God's word more. You've been seeking out Bible teaching. You've been wondering prophetically what is really happening at this time. And I praise God for that. But he is using this time and has used the past to strengthen us for what's ahead. And he wants to work so mighty and so powerfully as we continue to surrender our lives to him. He wants to heal. He wants to build. He wants to restore. He wants to save the lost. He wants to bring the wayward back to himself. He wants to do a mighty work. Time is short. Time is very short. The rapture of the church will happen soon. We praise God and we thank God that we can consider ourselves, as I would, last day disciples. As we're reading about the church and how it was formed and the things they contend with, it's ministering to us. And we realize, as Paul said, I come to you not with something of excellent of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. We're living at a time right now where people are wanting to promote themselves, promote how good they are. But what we want to do is proclaim Jesus Christ and the Word of God. We want to bring solid biblical exposition to you and to us. We're not bringing a suggestion to consider. We're bringing truth to believe. And it's because you're getting the truth of God's Word to believe, that is why you're here. It's because of Jesus. It's because of his word. And his word is becoming more alive in you and in me than ever before. We're not looking to be golden calf makers as they did in the days of Moses. We're looking to be discipleship makers. And Paul is doing that. And he's telling us clearly. And he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 and 2, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their own conscience seared. He would tell us in 1 Timothy 4:13, until I come, give attention to the reading and exhortation and to the doctrine. He tells us in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, pastor, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come, and we're in that time, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. We're not looking to take a cultural poll on what should be brought forward from a pulpit and from a pastor. God has already given us what he wants us to bring forth. He wants his word to be brought forth. He wants us to be fed and to be loved and be taught And he wants the truth to be brought forth. And we're living at a time where we see two things happening, which to me affirms we're living in the last days. We have seen a huge amount of people depart from the Word of God, from the truth of God, and belief in biblical truth. In a recent survey, the millennial group, only 19% of them believe that Israel has a plan in God's purposes eternally. Only 19%. Over 80% have no understanding prophetically of what Israel. It is a key piece, my friends. We're living in the last time because of Israel. It's back as a nation. And you see in that nation, and you see in Jerusalem, and you see on the Temple Mount, God is at work, but people have left that. But at the same time, you're here because something is different in your life. At the same time where there's a departure, there's a hunger and thirst for the Word of God. Hey, we're living in crazy times. And I can tell you truthfully, from the very beginning, I began to document things that were happening, things that were being said, both in our own nation, in our own state, and through the federal government, and just the bizarre things that were said and communicated. And kind of in a comical way, the whole folly of the mask. And just to let you know, all of a sudden, you're in a place, and put that up over your nose. Well, who put you in charge? Put that up over, but then if you're drinking a coffee, it's okay, you can take it down. And then if you go to a restaurant, you know, once you sit, COVID must quit. It's just like it, as long as you're sitting. But you come in with 9 people in a van driving together, and you walk in, but you got to split up. Now you can only have 5 there, 4 there. And COVID, you sit on the sidelines until they get up. Now, if they get up to go to the bathroom, don't put the mask on. Get them. But if not, and I know you laugh, but listen, all of this, we've lived in this. We've worked this over. You go to the airport, and before you check in, social distancing, back up 6 feet. Are you going to kill me or what? Back up. But then once you get on the plane, your elbows hitting one another, there's recycled air going around through the airplane, and when the plane lands, ding, 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 everybody stands up, and they're right next to each other getting their gear out of the cabinets up on top. But when you go back through the airport, 6 feet. Social distance with care, except when you're in the air. COVID spreads by close contact, by exchanging fluids. So, you know, you don't want to really be right in somebody's face. But it's okay to have football. It's okay to have professional basketball. It's okay to have a professional sports. It's okay. I mean, you're right there and in each other's face playing. It's all right. But if you're sitting on the bench, put a mask on. But it's okay. But it's okay. But it's not okay. You can't have school. You can't have funerals. You can't have weddings. And you've got to make little children on the playgrounds wear a mask. And if you live in California and it's a great, wonderful, sunny day, don't go to the beach. But we'll finance homeless living and we'll promote violent protests that assaults the police because there's no COVID mandates that are necessary in those things. What I'm just saying, friends, we have lived and are living through incredibly wicked times, and it doesn't make sense. And you know that you've been lied to, you've been deceived, you've been led astray, and the jury is still out on so much of what's going on. And you wonder, how does this make sense? How does this relate to me? We haven't lost what God's called us to do. In the midst of all that craziness, we stay focused. It's about Jesus. It's about His gospel. It's about people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. It's about encouraging. It's about praying for people. It's about meeting people in hospitals, in nursing homes. It's about sharing the faith with one who is lost. It's about taking the initiative, as Paul said, the testimony of God, still in verse 1, bringing forth that testimony. He said in verse 2, I determined not to know anything amongst you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was thinking about his strengths, his resume of the strengths and the weaknesses. What was his strengths? Paul said that he did not give what the audience want. we bring forth God's word. We're confident in God's word. He did not want to get in the way of the gospel. He chose to be disciplined and to stay focused on the mission. He would not use his human persuasion. And here's the thought for that. If you persuade someone into the kingdom of God by your human wisdom, then they can also be persuaded out of the kingdom of God by human wisdom. What does that mean? It means when we're doing what we're doing today, and when you're doing what God's asked you to do, to share Christ, there must be the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. Not the persuasion of a person, but the deep conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. I was thinking about Jesus and when he was ministering, and when he reflected back on what kind of person would Jesus make a statement, there's never been a follower of mine like this person. I'm all ears. What is this person? Who is this person? And he's speaking about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had no credentials to lay down before us. He was out in the wilderness. And you weren't attracted by his apparel, unless you like leather a lot. And if you, you know, like maybe natural food, maybe he put honey on his locusts, I don't know. But he's out there in the wilderness, and he's proclaiming, make straight the way of the Lord. Jesus is coming. Make straight the way of the Lord. That's what God admires. Men and women that are faithful, that speak for God and speak the truth of God. It's interesting because Paul, before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, he said to King Agrippa, he's making an appeal to King Agrippa, and he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but I declared first to those in Damascus and to those in Jerusalem and throughout the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works befitting of repentance. Now listen, he's before the king. Remember, when he got saved, Jesus said, I'm going to bring you before the Gentile world, and I'm going to bring you before kings and leaders. And before the king, he didn't back down. You know, when it says to us in another verse here that he came in fear and trembling, I want to let you know with complete confidence that Paul was bold in the way that he lived. Paul wasn't fearless in doing what God asked him to do. He was bold in bringing forth the word of God. He was bold in living the word of God in his life. Well, what does it mean, fear and trembling? My friends, when I'm here before you, I come in fear and trembling. I realize that there is an absolute responsibility. If I misrepresent God, if I misrepresent Jesus, if I misrepresent the heart of Jesus, just the consequences of that. And wanting and praying and believing that whatever you hear, that it takes root inside, whatever you hear from God and from the Spirit of God, not from the messenger, but from God and his word and the Spirit working. I pray it takes resident within your life and your heart. I pray for those that are lost that would come to faith. And many are living compromised life, a believer, but living compromised life. And you want to be set free. You do. And it's the grace of God that will set you free. Back what I was speaking about when he went before King Agrippa and speaking to King Agrippa, Paul is saying to him in laying out the gospel message that Christ would suffer and that he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Now, as thus he made his defense, and Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. You're much learning. It's driving you mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak the things that are words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I speak freely, you know these things. I'm convinced that none of these things escape your attention, since these things were not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. And then King Agrippa said to Paul, Paul, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. Almost. But he wasn't. There must be the convicting work of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives right now. The convicting work of the Spirit of God. And the convicting work of the Spirit of God does not draw you and drive you away from God. It draws you to God. The convicting work of the Holy Spirit says, Jesus, I love you. The convicting work of the Holy Spirit says, God, you know how I'm struggling in these areas. I need your help. I've asked for your help and your forgiveness on a daily basis for a long time, and I'm never going to stop asking. I need your grace. I need your grace. It was your grace that saved me, but I need your grace to strengthen me and to help me in the day and the time in which we live. Again, in verse 3, but I was with you in weakness, it says, and in fear, and in much trembling. And I'm thinking of Paul's resume, strengths and weaknesses. You know that. You're having a very important interview with your possible next employer. You're excited about that. You've gone through all the testing. You've been through face-to-face. But then there's going to be one or two people that sit down with you, and they're going to say, well, tell us again, what are your strengths? What are the strengths that you're going to bring here to this job? And you let them know just some of the strengths you have, whether it's academically or the way you can communicate or organize. And then they'll say, what is your weaknesses? And that's a hard one to answer, because you don't want to say something that's going to let them really know about you. So you're going to taint that answer a little bit. Oh, the weaknesses. Yeah, you know, one of my weaknesses is that I'm really stubborn. But I'm really stubborn in a way that makes me more determined to work harder for you and for the goals of this company. That is my weakness, but I think it actually is working out for the good. Well, you can see the pride and the lack of humility that comes through that. Paul was a humble servant. He became nothing so Christ could become everything. He never thought of himself as a great apostle. He depended completely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. I love Paul so much. We're going to get to see him. We're going to see the Apostle John and all these others. We're going to see family members. We're going to see people that prayed for us that we never knew they prayed for us. We were just on their heart. We've never become acquainted with them, but in heaven, it'll become known just how God in his grace used so many people to bring us to himself. Paul depended upon the power of the Holy Spirit. He would say at the end, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. There's laid up for me in heaven a crown of righteousness, but not for me only, also to all of you who love and are looking forward to the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. And Paul, in this sense of, I was with you in fear and trembling. Let me give you an account of Paul's journey before coming to Corinth. It says, and Paul and Barnabas, they grew bold, and they said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you rejected it, judge for yourself unworthy of everlasting life. So they experienced rejection. It tells us in Acts 19, they went into synagogues, and they spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. It tells us in Ephesians 3, we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Jesus Christ. But also in Acts 16, it says, the multitudes rose up against us together, and the magistrates tore off their clothes, and they commanded us to be beaten with rods. And when they laid many stripes on us, they threw us into prison. They commanded the jailer to keep us secure, and they had a charge of death put upon us. It tells us in Acts 17, when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul and Berea, they came also to stir up the crowds with strife and violence against us. So Paul knew the reality of that, but he didn't fear that. The fear and the trembling is when we live under the lordship of Jesus Christ. We humble ourselves. He would tell us in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I discipline my body, I bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. He didn't want to be disqualified. He wanted to keep in the race. And it says in verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul said in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. What goes on in your mind? What goes on in your mind when you're thinking about sharing the love and the grace and the truth of Jesus Christ with someone else? And what goes on when, in a sense, there is some fear and trembling in you? Remember, we don't center our answer on the wisdom of men. We're not interested in entertaining. We're not interested in the emotions. It's not about our human personality. It's about transformation. And that's what God wants to do. Your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. And what is the gospel? The gospel is not mixing your wisdom with God's revelation. There's no confusion. The message is simple. And here it is, the gospel message. Jesus Christ is the eternal God that always lived and always existed. There was an appointed time in human history that Jesus Christ left the glory of heaven to come to earth and to live amongst us here. He proved himself to be the living God because everything he did reflected on the perfection of who he was, for there was no sin found in him. The only charge brought against him was this. They said, you being a man, present yourself to be God. And he said that he is God. He said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He said that no one comes to the Father but by him. And he proved himself to be the one and only Savior of the world. How did he do that? Here's the gospel message. One more minute left. Here you go. He went to a cross, and he was hanging on a cross, and all of your sin, make it personal, all of your sin, every sin you've committed, past, present, and future, all of your sin, whether you did it outwardly or in your heart, all of your sin was placed upon Christ, and the Father in heaven pour out the wrath of God from heaven upon his Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He fully took the full punishment we deserved for our sin. That's what he did. So all the sin, that's why darkness covered the world during that time. And he said in the end, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he rose again from the dead. And he presented himself alive from the dead, not some mystical apparition. He is alive from the dead. Hundreds of people saw him and witnessed him. And he's alive today. And he's saving men and women and boys and girls today. It is the gospel truth. And there isn't any other way. In the end, when you take your last breath, when I take my last breath, there's only two destinations. That's it. The world will lie to you. There's no reincarnation. Humanism won't get you anything. Buddhism won't get you anything. Confucius won't get you anything. Islam will send you to hell. Listen, you just need to hear the truth. It's only Christ that brings us into his glory for eternity. And it changed the lives of every person. And Paul said, by the grace of God, I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to bring that message, because in the end, brothers and sisters, this right now is just a small taste of what is ahead for us in heaven with Jesus Christ. How does somebody believe? Just in faith. Dear God, I am a sinner. I have sinned against you. I've offended you, and I've offended many other people. But I want to be right with you right now. So, Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. I receive Jesus Christ, that free gift of eternal life, as my Lord and Savior. And in His name we pray. Amen.